So, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look at only of your interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Church, how's everybody? Hey, give it up for Rory. Good. Give it up for Rory Casey and Alex Avorka for making that happen. Man, I was praying that God would give the right person. So I asked Rory, I said, can you read? And he's like, yeah, I can read. I was like, okay. So they did that, and man, it was super encouraging. Alex showed it to me. I was like, man, this is great. And so just talking about just this whole idea of every knee will bow, and that's the title of the message because that's what will happen. And so as we dive into God's Word, I want to take you on a little bit of a journey with me, okay? And so 2004, I moved to Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I moved in with two of my good buddies, a guy named Sean and a guy named Casey. We had the opportunity to get to know each other and live as roommates in the same house, obviously, and Casey and me, really, we hung out a lot. We spent a lot of time together. He's one of my best friends. But Sean and me, we were close in high school. We were buddies. You know, we spent time together. But Sean went through this crazy radical transformation in college. So after we graduated high school, I grew up in a small town in southwest Missouri. But after we graduated from college, Sean went off to college, and he had this radical transformation. His whole life changed. His whole life was about Jesus, and everything that he talked about was about Jesus. And I was like, man, what is wrong with this guy? This guy's weird, like totally weird. And so I was working, driving a truck, and I came home one night. This was on November 19th of 2004. And Sean was sitting in our living room, and he had a Bible, a steno notepad, and a pen. You guys remember what steno notepads are?
Yeah.
Okay. So he was sitting there, and he was just waiting. He was waiting for me to come home. And I was like, what's up, man? And he goes, I want to share something with you. And I was like, okay. And so I sat down next to him, and as we were sitting there talking, he's like, I want to share this little illustration. It's called the bridge illustration with you. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'd been around church enough as a kid. I didn't really attend church on a regular basis. I kind of was in and out of church, but I knew enough answers. My idea of church whenever I was a youth was I went to church because there was pretty girls there, right? So youth trips and stuff like that. So that's why I wanted to go on. So, but as the opportunity to be able to go on these trips and be able to get to know, I learned the lingo, right? I could speak Christianese, if you will. And so I was like, okay, so he was asking me what's sin, what's death. I could answer these questions. And the opportunity that I had to be able to respond to him, and I could answer at the end of our conversation. We basically got to the end of the conversation, and he had walked me through the whole bridge illustration, and he said, Brad, are you ready to turn your life over to Jesus and start living for him and not living for yourself? How do you answer that question? I can't say no, right? Who says no to God, right? Because I knew him enough that I knew that I couldn't do that, and so I just sat there. I just sat there. I think I fell asleep on the guy, but we sat there for almost 2 hours. This guy sat right next to me for 2 hours after sharing the gospel with me. And I'd sit there, and I woke up, and I said, all right, I'm going to bed. I got up and went to bed. Okay, that was on I can't remember what exact day that was. It was like 5 days later, but Sunday, it was a Saturday, I think is what it was. And then on Sunday, I got up. I didn't see him much. He was already gone to church. And so I was like, good, I don't have to see him. Good. Okay. And then on Monday and Tuesday, I worked a lot away from home. But man, it was like on Tuesday afternoon, I started having this feeling. And it was just like, what am I living my life for? What is the purpose of my life? And so Wednesday I leave, I had to drive really far away. I had to drive to Mountain Home, Arkansas from Fayetteville. And if you've been on that road, it's like this, you know. So it takes a little bit of time, especially in a semi, to be able to get over there. And so I get over there on the way back. I was like, man, this burning feeling of me to stop living for myself and start living for Christ. And I just was like, okay, God, like if this is what you want me to do, then I'll do it. I'll wholesale it. I will give up everything that I've been living my life for, and I will turn everything over to you. So that day was November 24th. I didn't even tell. Tiffany's in here this morning, and Hudson and Noah are in here, my older two kids. But I didn't realize this until I was preparing this today, because I actually went back through the calendar and looked. November 24th is my oldest son's birthday. It's the day that I found Jesus. And I did it because a guy took time out of his life to share Jesus with me. He was bold enough to sit down and hear me answer all the answers that he was asking. He was willing to sit there and listen. That guy's name is Sean Cooper. My third son is named Cooper after Sean. I've been blessed. God has blessed me and really been amazing. I want to tie this in. 2005, I did an internship at UBC in Fayetteville, Arkansas. That's when I did youth ministry. It's also when I found out I was not called to do youth ministry. And so that is not my calling at all. So super excited about being a part of ministry and really what God has gifted me to be a part of, and really introduced me to the whole idea of being missional, really having a focus on reaching people, reaching lost people, and being able to do that. And so Sean was taking this class called Perspectives, and I said, man, I'll go with you, whatever. And he's like, well, this is how much it costs. I was like, dang, that's a lot of money. I was like, but you will really learn a lot from the class. And I said, okay, fine, I'll take it. And so I took the class. We're hosting that class in January here. You got two of your instructors here. And if you want to meet Sean Cooper in person, he'll be here. He's teaching one of the lessons. He teaches Perspectives now. And so that's what he gets the pleasure of doing, is introducing people to God's heart for the world. And so my hope and desire is as we tie in that, as we tie in Perspectives, and my hope for what we tie in this scripture that we'll talk about, that summer 2004 is whenever I really started learning my foundation of who I was in Christ, right? I became a Christian just a few months before that, 6 months before that, and I really learned my foundation to Christ. In that time, I was encouraged, and Tiffany did the same thing. She did the internship after I did, but the pastor who actually, he was one of the guys who helped marry Tiffany and I in our wedding ceremony. And we're working on 12 years, Pastor. You guys have got us knocked out, but we're trying, we're trucking. But he said, man, one of the biggest things that you've got to do in your own life is get into God's Word, study it, and just spend time in it. And he really encouraged us to memorize. Tiffany, I can't remember, it's somewhere like 60 verses we had to memorize that summer. And I was like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Well, 16 of the verses were Philippians 2, 1 through 16. So when Pastor asked me to preach this, I was like, I know that. I know them. I got them. And so I've studied them. I've spent time in them. And so one of the things that I was really encouraged by this, of being able just to bring God's word to you guys. And so as I just a few short years ago, I've been in ministry now about 14 years, and it's a short ministry career, I understand, but God has blessed me so richly by just obedience in His Word and spending time in His Word and spending time in prayer. And so as I present this to you today, specifically talking about Philippians 2, 1 through 11, I want you to take time. Make the Bible about it being your own and being able to spend time in it, in a relationship with Christ and what that actually means. That is what is powerful. That will change your life. I know, because it's changed mine. And so, as we get ready to dig into God's Word, I want to just stop and pray for real quick. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the blessings that you have given me. Lord, I want to thank you for who you are and what you've done. Lord, use me, forgive me for where I've failed you. Use me to speak your truth and your word this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you in your name. Amen. So I want to thank Pastor Eric just for continuing to push us through Philippians and specifically drawing us back to Acts 16 and talking about the beginning of this. And we understand that Paul planted this church on his second missionary journey. It's so encouraging to be able to read through the book of Philippians and be able just to take on the truth that is there. As you guys know, this was a financial gift, a letter that was sent. This church had really meant a lot to Paul, and Paul had meant a lot to this church, and this was when Paul was in jail, right? And so he talks about it. And so let's start off real quick. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from his love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. And I think this is where we stop just for... Sorry, I'm new to this. Oh, yeah, that's so I was going to show you where modern day, where it would be, where Philippi would be. So it's a good journey for Paul. Christ-like humility, and that was what I just read. And so, sorry, I'll get better at this, I promise. And so, having my joy in being the same mind, having the same love. As I was thinking about this, I was processing through this, one of the things that we were talking about is that idea of fellowship. This is Fellowship Bible Church, right? The opportunity that we have to be in fellowship together. That fellowship means to be rowing in the same direction, to be pushing in the same direction, for all of us to have the same desires and the same focus as we do to be able to introduce people to Christ, right? This is Paul writing, but what does he do in his letters? He points everything to Jesus, right? Everything that he does is point to Jesus. And so as he does this, this is this idea that he knows of there being some turmoil in the church, so some little bit of fighting that's going on, or some uneasiness, and Paul's addressing that here. He said, basically, guys, have the same mind, have the same love, go after the same things, be focused, and have one mind together. And he does that by saying this. Hold on 1 second. There we go. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And this idea, this is Epaphroditus tells Paul about the division in the church, and Paul makes a point that we should treat others better than ourselves. We have an innate ability to treat us the best way possible, right? We want to take care of ourselves. We want to do things for ourselves, right? And in any way, in any shape or form that we can make our life better, we want to, right? I know. I'm right there with you. And so we want to make things better. But an idea behind this, the idea behind this is that we would do things for other people that make their lives better. How can we do that as ourselves? And so this is a couple of the things that I thought of this week, and I thought it was really cool. Just like, man, if you know somebody who needs a meal or needs some yard work done, or they need something else, whatever that may be, you know, be that person. Show that light of Jesus to a neighbor or to a friend or to maybe even somebody that you don't know. Visit somebody in the hospital, and I put in parentheses, pre-COVID, hopefully after COVID, you can still visit somebody in the hospital. And that's one of the things was we moved from Nashville. That was one of my jobs on Mondays. It was my job to go to the hospitals and visit people and just show them that we love them and we care for them. And so how can you do that as an individual? And one of the things, write a note. I know there's some great note writers in this congregation because I've received them from you guys, and I want to just thank you for that. One of the things I wanted to share was Right after my mom passed away, I got a letter, or I got a note from the Jiffy Lube. I had taken my truck in there to have some work done on it, and they had every person who had signed it. And I told them the reason why I was getting the work done and stuff. And so I was driving my truck, and they gave me, these people don't know me, where's Adam? But somebody took the time to write me a note. And about half the people said, praying for you. Isn't that cool? That touched my heart. It really did. And so one of the greatest loves that we see, this idea behind it, having this mind among yourselves, which is in yours, Christ Jesus. I'm not there yet. And so this is this idea of comfort from his love, right? How do we receive comfort from his love? The comfort that he gives us from his love is greater than any love that we will ever receive. I love my boys. I love my wife. But Jesus loves them more. As we spend time with each other, as we develop the community, that should be the backbone to everything that holds everything together is love. Because Jesus did that for us, right? He died on the cross. He died on the cross and gave us that love. We didn't deserve it. He gave it to us for free. The greatest love that could ever exist, Jesus died on the cross for us. And he died on the cross for people out there. We don't deserve that love. We don't deserve that grace. But he gave it to us for free. I had this opportunity whenever I was in college ministry up in Kansas City. I read this book called The Cure, all right? And so the idea was that if you have the gift or the antidote, whatever it may be, whatever you want to call it, to cure cancer, what would you do with it? Would you hold it to yourself? Would you try to sell it? We've all been affected by people with cancer. Maybe you have it right now. What would you do with the ability to be able to cure it? How would you handle that? You have the same thing right now with eternal life in Christ Jesus. You have the freedom to be able to share in a country that is free to share the gospel with people that you know, people you don't know. I spent a lot of time in China, specifically East Asia. It's illegal to share the gospel there. Illegal to share the gospel. It's not illegal to be a Christian. It's illegal to share the gospel. It's free here. We get the opportunity here every single day to be able to go out and proclaim God's word with other people. And that's what really matters. What would you do if you had the cure to cancer? You wouldn't keep it to yourself. Don't keep the gospel to yourself. We're wired to be selfish. We are. It's just who we are. We're wired to be selfish and put ourselves first. We have to practice putting people first, right? So one of some things that I had a boss who basically, he parked at the very back of the parking lot every day. It didn't matter. He took that first spot at the very back of the parking lot. And I started saying, man, that's pretty cool. Why do you do that? And he said, well, I have the inner desire to take care of myself first. So if it's raining or whatever, I'm going to park at the very front parking spot next to the building and not have to worry about, you know, getting wet whenever it does that. So he said, so I started implementing these practices in my life to be able to where I could say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to set myself apart. And so he did that. And that was something as simple as opening doors for people whenever you walk into a Quick Trip. By the way, I love Quick Trip, just so you guys know. I love it. We got to practice putting people first. And so some of the ways that you can do that, think about that. Think about how you can do that and what it looks like for you. 6. All right. And so, who, though he was in form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name is above every name, so that the one name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and under the earth, and on earth and under the earth, every tongue will confess that Jesus, that the Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. The idea behind this, it really, just to practice this, we see Jesus in the New Testament never move without God, right? He spent time in prayer before he ever moved, made any major decision. We can see that all throughout Scripture. So he's calling us to do the same thing. How can you spend time in prayer? How can you spend time in God's Word? How can you spend time in fellowship to help you make decisions, major decisions that you need in your life? Spend time with the people that are going to steer you in the right direction, right? Spend time in God's Word, because that is the right direction. Spend time in prayer and let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you, because that's what matters long term. Be faithful with your time, talents, and treasures, right? Your three T's. We only have so much time. If anything, this summer has taught me that your time is not guaranteed on this earth, right? The talents that you have, God's given you them talents for a specific reason, it's for a specific purpose to use now. And the treasures that you have. I love that the Bible talks about money more than almost anything. When we talk about our pocketbooks, we say we can do this, we can do that, but don't talk about my pocketbook, right? Our desire is to be able to use the thing that God has given us, right? We want to be faithful in our time, talents, and treasures, right? And I think that this is something too, but don't let your discernment, you know, don't wholesale and give all your life savings to a certain organization, whether it be a church or not. Be discernment, you know, be able to use discernment, and what God has given you, use it for Him. But be faithful in that. And so remember your boundaries. That's really what I wanted to say. Jesus gave up privilege by coming to the earth. Jesus died a martyr's death, right? God rewards faithfulness. That's what he did. One of my examples in seminary was thinking about Daniel, right? So you talk about God's faithfulness, and then you listen a little bit to Daniel. What did Daniel do? He did some crazy stuff, right? And so you think about the lion's den. Just a couple examples specifically. The lion's den of him going in there, and then people pushing him in there, and really backing the king into a corner. And what did he do? He survived it because of his faithfulness. Because of his faithfulness. You ever wonder why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire furnace? Where was Daniel? The whole book's written about him. Where's that guy at? I always wonder what that looks like. That's just some fun thought for you guys. The idea behind this whole section of Scripture that I just have been blessed to be able to bring to you guys this morning is the fact that every knee will bow on heaven and on earth. We've been given the cure to cancer. We've been given the cure to eternal life. Every knee will bow. If you wait till after he comes back, which could be tomorrow, which could be, I don't know, whenever. Could be this afternoon. If you wait till then, it'll be too late. Let the Lord Jesus become your Savior. Let Him teach you. Let Him direct your life. That's what I did. That's what changed my whole life. That's what really everything. One of the funnest people in Scripture for me to read is James, right? James, half-brother of Jesus. How is he the half-brother of Jesus? Because God was Jesus' daddy, right? Mary? Yeah. Okay. So the idea of him, I find myself doing this where you doubt, and you're like, man, like this guy grew up with Jesus, right? He was with Jesus all the time. I mean, he was around him all the time. It's half brother. And he's doubting that he's the Son of God, that he's the Savior of the universe. What happens? Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he comes back. He has fish with his brother, half-brother, right? James says, in James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Isn't that good? This is the half-brother of Jesus. Galatians 6:9, so let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Will you not give up with me? Guys, last night was amazing. Having that many people on our campus that we get to share Christ's love with. You guys who volunteered, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that God has brought you to this church so we could serve together to reach this community for Christ. It's amazing. Following Jesus' example, choose to be like Jesus. Love God, love people. Love God and love people. I used to say this all the time in my previous church. I said, look, there's two things that matter in this world. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Them two things will transform your whole life. One of the funniest stories I got of my mentor, he was telling me this story, and it was actually a sermon illustration, so I'm going to steal it and share it a little bit with you. He said he was sitting at this stoplight, right? He got to the stoplight. This is, talk about humbling. He's sitting at the stoplight, and this guy never looked up. He said the whole light turned green, then turned yellow, then turned red, and the guy never looked up the whole time. He's so angry, so he's honking on his horn, telling him, he's like, why didn't you go? Raising up his hands, whatever. And so anyway, next light turns green, they take a left, and they go down there, and he pulls up right next to him. The guy rolls down his window. He's like, hey, pastor! He's like, yeah, he said, that was a time where you humble yourself because you don't know necessarily who's watching, but you know what you're called to do, right? We're called to love God and love people. There's no perfect person, right? We can't be sinless like Jesus, but we can serve like Jesus. We can't be sinless like Jesus, but we can serve like Jesus. You guys did that last night. Thank you so much for doing that, and thank you for just being a part of what that is. Here's some ways, and I think this is, you know, just going back to the idea of every knee will bow on earth and under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How will you change your life today? How will you be more focused on reaching people today, knowing that you have it? What are some ways that you can do that? What are some ways? Serve somebody that is in need, whatever there may be. We give you the opportunity to be able to share the gospel with them. Reconcile a relationship. We all have relationships that need reconciled. Who in your life have you cut things off with? Maybe even a family member. My best man at my wedding, his name's Ramsey, and Ramsey was the guy who would literally do anything for you at any time. He literally would drop everything. Such a great guy, and I put on here, it's a help a friend. Anytime I think about helping a friend, I think about Ramsey Emerson. I think about him, he's willing to do whatever. That is being like Jesus. Love God, love people. God is good, and he is willing to help us to be able to come alongside us. That night when Sean Cooper sat there, it wasn't in Sean Cooper's own abilities that he sat there and shared the gospel with me. He did it through the Holy Spirit because he knew that my life was going to be transformed. And my life was transformed. I didn't understand at that time what it was going to look like. I know my wife didn't either. We were just friends at that time. But God is good, and He is worthy to be praised. Our desire, I think, as Fellowship Bible Church, and this text is for us to be unified together. If you will, row in the same direction, as we all have one call, and that is to love God and love people. How can we do that? Together. That's what we want to do. We don't want to be showy. We don't want to be gimmicky. We don't want to, whatever that may be. We want to have humility. Be humble, loving others. Do what we can to be able to love others as a church, really, as a church, and individually. God came to this earth and He loves you. He loves me. He loves the people working at QT, obviously. He loves the people that are at your dry cleaner. He loves the people who help you mow your yard, whatever that may be. God has placed you specifically in a spot right now that He's got you for a reason, to use your time, talents, and treasures, whatever that may be. You have been put there for a reason. I may not meet, I love talking to people, I don't know if you knew that or not, but I really like talking to people. And so I may never meet the people that come in contact with you on a daily basis. But you do. You have the opportunity to proclaim Christ to them. You have the opportunity to be able to share a little bit of God's word with them, whatever that may be. This is what modern day Philippi looks like. It's in ruins. There's a few spots that are kind of still sticking up. You think about what happened there when Paul first shared the gospel. The place blew up with Christians, right? The church was built there at Philippi. We have the opportunity to do that here. But one day that's what will happen. I don't know if Tulsa will look like that one day. But we have a time. We have time right now. Each one of us have time. Don't let the time get away from you. All right, I'm going to call up the band and we'll finish this thing out. The next steps, I wanted to just kind of make these very tangible for you as we talk about next steps. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, I'm going to be down here afterwards. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Love to give you an opportunity to tell me your story. You heard a bit of mine today. On the back of your connection card, you can put your information as much as you feel comfortable putting on that connection card and turn that into us. One of the things we love doing every single week is praying for you. If you have a prayer request, we want to partner with you in prayer. But on the top of that, it says, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, come talk to me afterwards. Or talk to a family member afterwards. Talk to somebody afterwards. If you feel comfortable marking it on that, then mark it on there. I want to follow up with you. Next thing is, I commit to share Jesus with one person this week. One person. In that internship, there was 13 of us. We had a guy come in, and he was the evangelist, right? And he said, hey, I want to ask you guys, how many of you guys have ever shared your faith? And about half the room raised their hand. And so, well, how many of you have shared your faith in the last year? Two people raised their hand. Mind you, I've been a Christian for 6 months at this time, right? I was on fire. I was telling everybody about Jesus because I had this new found trust and faith in who Christ was, right? I said, okay, let's go. By the end of that time, I was the only person. I had 13 people had shared their faith in the last month. I was the only person. That's not to boast about me. That's to say, guys, we have a job to do. We don't know how much time we have on this earth. You don't know. There are people out there who are dying every single day, every single minute. they're going to spend an eternity separated from Jesus in a real place called hell. We want them to spend eternity with Jesus in a real place called heaven. That's what we want. So who this week, I want you to take, not your connection card, because that doesn't help us, but I want you to take something and write down a name right now. I want you to think about a name of somebody who you get the opportunity to share with this week. I'll wait. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make you do that. But I want you to think about somebody seriously. Who is somebody that you know does not have a personal relationship with Christ and you get the opportunity to share with this week? Pray about that opportunity. Pray about it. Every time I stop before I leave the house in the morning, I say, God, give me an opportunity to share your name with somebody. He always opens the door. No matter where I go or what I do, he always opens the door to let me share who he is and what he's done for me. It may be a part of my story. It may be a part of his story. Prepare yourself for that. Ask God for them opportunities, because that's what matters. And then this one. I want to put others before myself this week. How can you do that? Think about ways that you can do that. Who's somebody that you can go serve? Who's somebody that you can make an effort towards putting them before yourself? What's something that you can do individually that can make somebody's life better? Put them before yourself. If you don't remember anything from today, love God, love people. Be humble as Christ was, coming to this earth to serve us, even though we didn't deserve it. Jesus still died for us. Love God, love people. Lord, we thank you so much for today. We ask that you will let us be lights to this world. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for salvation. I thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. I thank you for the death on the cross that you endured, and I thank you so much for rising out of that grave 3 days later. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. In your name, amen.